California dudes, don't be alarmed. This is how real men act. Here's Joe and Kim, the Mac Texans.
Greetings from the former Republic of Texas. I'm Joe Kelly.
Hey, and I'm Ken Mitchell.
Welcome to the Mac Texan podcast number 24. And, man, it's good to be back in the saddle again, Ken. Seems like we missed a week last week. I guess that's the way it is when you work for a living, huh?
That's exactly what it was. It wasn't that we wanted to miss a week. We ended up having to miss a week. We both were pretty busy last week. So times are good. Things are good.
Yeah, and got a few minutes set aside here and try to get a podcast recorded. Man, we missed a lot of fun news. Of course, we missed a lot of junk, too, and I don't feel too remorse about that. But anyway, the good news is, according to a website called Monday Note, and this is a tech blog, and Jean-Louis Gasset, he's... I've seen him on This Week in Tech and a couple other shows. Anyway, he's pretty good at having his finger on the pulse of things. But the news in this article is the smartphone and tablet shipments become greater than PC shipments right now. I mean, it's happening according to this graph. Let me put that on the screen. According to this graph, that's happening in the first part of 2011. So more iOS and other portable operating systems out there than Windows or Mac and everything else combined. It was an interesting article in that, you know, he's asking, you know, what's going to happen with the Mac? And internet access is going the way of the portable devices.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I don't want to see the desktop go away, man. It's just, I mean, I love my iPad, I love my iPhone, but boy, there's just things you can't do without a desktop. And the problem here is, I don't want Apple to lose focus on the Mac. It seems like there's a lot more activity around the Macintosh of late with the advent of the App Store and talking about the new OS X Lion. I assume it's still going to be OS X. I don't think they would swap it to OS 11 yet, but there are significant changes coming to that are going to make OS X appear, and the look and feel will be a lot more like iOS on the iPad. So
but it won't be iOS. It'll be its own entity with that is stronger. You know, it's an integrated thing. They're all together. You know, I one of these days, who's to say what'll happen in 10 years or even 5 years? That's such a long time in the technology world. But in the near future, I see that the Mac will continue to have nice sales as it has in the past. It's grown quite nicely, and he even states that in that article that it has. It's a big business too.
Yeah, and so Mac sales continue to grow.
Right.
And right now, I think it's just due in part to the halo effect. I know that's what grabbed me, man. I bought an iPod in 2006. And I struggled and got it working on Windows. And, well, then you get into the podcast world and reading blogs and things about iPods and that sort of thing. And, well, it just whet my appetite for a Mac. I had a Zune, okay? I bought a first-generation Zune. I was one of the retards that, I was a real Microsoft guy at the time. But I bought that Zune, and I was never happy with it. And I got my kids for Christmas at the end of 2005, a couple of iPod Nanos. And, you know, they're syncing up with iTunes and getting video podcasts and audio podcasts, and Zune wouldn't do any of that stuff. And I said, well, heck, I'm going to go ahead and get an iPod. Well, I got it. I loved it. I was impressed by the way it worked, the build quality. And I said, if Apple does everything this well, then why don't I have a Mac? And it didn't take long. And you know the story from there. I'm such a Mac freak now. I mean, since 2006 to 2011, in 5 years, I've purchased probably at least that many Macs. I don't want to count them, man. I'm afraid to look back. It's scary to think all I've spent on them. But and now the iOS devices, the iPhone, the iPad, and I love them. There's a lot of things I can do with them, but man, I just don't want to see OS X go away. I mean, it's when you look at what I can do with this iMac, which is a real hoss of a machine. I mean, I'm running three cameras and audio interface and Ustreaming and Skype and all that stuff from one machine, and it's hardly breaking a sweat. So, I mean, there are limits, and Steve Jobs called these things trucks. I'm definitely got it doing some truck duty right now, but I just hope that Apple never loses focus that's their core business. I don't know.
Well, but you know, think about it. Your iPhone, which I've always thought that was a improper name for it, you know, well, as of lately, I've thought that. I use it less for a phone than I do anything else, and it's a great device, and I use it all the time. But I don't use it when I'm at home. Most of the time, if I'm just surfing the web or doing normal little junk on that, I normally use my iPad. But if I'm working or if I'm doing something, I need a bigger screen. So it may be, you know, I have all those things. I have iMacs, I have iBooks, MacBooks, just like, in fact, I'm using an older MacBook right now. I'm using an older MacBook to do this podcast right this second. But I have a bunch of iMacs. And if I'm really doing something, I would much rather sit out that iMac. It's comfortable, it's easy to see, it's a big screen. I don't want to do on my iPad what I could do on that iMac. So I can't make the prediction, but I would be willing to bet that we're not going to see the demise of the Mac anyway soon, much more than we are going to see the demise of the PC. Now, what I do expect, and one of the rumors that I have read, is that one of the other things that Apple has come, and it's come a long way really fast, is the Apple TV. And the big rumor is that Apple will actually be in the TV business, just like the TVs that you buy. That'll be a whole other dimension, but I don't expect that to replace a Mac. I mean, you ever sat in front of a TV with a keyboard?
Oh, yeah.
That's like the worst of the worst, you know?
So I've got a media center. It is Windows, but I can't imagine it being any different if it were a Mac Mini or something like that. Right. A keyboard, and that's where I think Google TV missed out. And you know what? All this news about Apple TV and them making TVs, I write that off as so much horse manure, man. And just I don't see them doing it. Hell, people in the TV business don't want to be in the TV business. Pioneer, that was making the best flat panel plasma displays, they just threw their hands up, bailed out, said, we can't fight the Chinese and the Koreans. We're just, we're getting out. And they had critically acclaimed plasma displays that, I mean, all the audio video mags and everything praised as by far the best. That Curo plasma had definitely the best contrast of anything. And they just, we're done. Yeah, can't make any money at it.
But you and I think about it in a different, or probably in a more a conventional method than versus what Apple has approached on all their devices. They've never been the lowest cost thing by far. That even though they have iPhones now that are cheaper than what they originally were, and I could see them being in the TV business, and I'd see it being a high end TV, and it's a TV that they it's got an Apple TV built in it and whatever else that they want. You know, who knows what these guys want? I mean, between Apple and Google, who would have ever thought of the things that they are into today? You know, I'm just as much as amazed with Google as I am Apple.
True.
It's just a different deal. They don't make the hardware. So, anyway.
Well, anyway, first part of this year, iPhones, or maybe to be more specific, smartphone shipments will outpace combined desktop and laptop shipments. So it's definitely the business is shifting to mobile, and let's keep our fingers crossed that Apple keeps its eye on the Macintosh balls, and that's all I'll say about that. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sure that they will.
Okay, next on the list, speaking of mobile, now this is what's interesting about this next one is Mobile World Congress went on last week in Barcelona, Spain, and that's where all of the portable devices get displayed and shown off, and there are a lot of announcements about new devices. Well, Apple didn't even show up. Apple has said, it's not only Macworld, We're not going to any trade shows. That includes CES and Mobile World Congress. Apple doesn't even show up, and the iPhone 4 wins the best mobile device for last year, and Apple wasn't even there to promote it.
Well, you know, what can you say? I just read a book about Steve Jobs just the other day, and I think there's a whole bunch of factors that are involved with this about not going to Macworld. I mean, you know, we all think of him as Macworld as being a great thing for them and what they – and it may have been in the early days, but in the later days it was kind of a pain in the butt the way I understood it. I don't blame them.
Yeah,
they don't need to. Why waste the money on it, and why waste the effort that they're wasting? And you know, if you're not there, they can't ask you the question. And that may be the bigger part of it.
Well, you know that there were some Samsung guys and some HTC guys and some Motorola guys that they all, you know, Motorola showed off their Zoom, and all the new Android phones from all these manufacturers were there. And, you know, when it's announced the iPhone 4 beat them all, then, you know, there was somebody that was deeply disappointed. They were probably swearing and 30 different languages going on at that place when this announcement was made. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Apple doesn't even show up, and the iPhone 4 wins. And that's after the thing got panned for, you know, all the antenna problems and, you know, whatnot. It got so much bad press. But, you know, when you and I know it. I've looked at the new Android devices. I was in the ATT store the other day, and you know, just playing around with them. You know, Android's close, but it ain't there yet, man. iPhone 4 still. If I had the choice, spend my money, it's on the iPhone.
See, I'm the same way. I like the feel of mine. I like how it works. I know how to work it. It's really easy to use. I'm not putting it on the Android phone, but I have not met anyone that has Android phones that are as nuts about their phones as Apple people are.
Right.
I don't know if that's just like, I don't know. I don't really understand that at all, but it's not a bad thing. I mean, it works great. All those phones do. It just depends on what you use it for. And one of those, you know, going back to that award, what do those awards mean anyway? I mean, they're not going to drive you to go buy something. They're not going to drive me to go buy something. I don't know if anybody that even knows about this. I mean, that's an industry award. They all feel good about it. But in the, you know, at the end of the day, I bet it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
and that's probably the way Apple looks at it. Other ones look at it as a way to get their showcase on their stuff, and they need to get their showcase on their stuff. It's free. Well, it's not free advertising at all because they paid a ton to be in it. But this will be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just another corky dot that goes up on the website propaganda page, right? You know,
yeah. And you know, rated thing best about device. Apple is such a weird state right now. I mean, they are just going full force, and they have all this stuff going full force. And Jobs is such a driving force behind it. But and again, then you've got his sickness on the other hand, and he's, you know, we're not even going into the rumors about what's going on with him now, because man, it is, the internet is full of stuff about him right now, and I wish him the best in the world. Nobody should have to go through that, but that. You know, I don't know if those decisions are influenced by that or not, or how that's working. Whatever they're doing, they need to keep doing it because, man, they got it wired.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's enough about that. The thing is, iPhone 4, you can put that on Apple can put that on their website. They're rated the best mobile device. I mean, that's sort of like holding up a J.D. Powers trophy, right, for a car manufacturer. It's just one more reason to tell your customers that they should be buying your product. So the funny part about this was, like I said, Apple wasn't even there. They weren't even they weren't even trying to compete for this deal, and we wound up winning anyway. So
yeah.
Anyway, cool. Next, Apple cracking the enterprise egg. Now, there were a lot of articles about this. The two that I read were in Network World, but one I thought was better was at Ars Technica on their Infinite Loop site. And again, all these will be in the show notes. But it's showing a big chunk of Apple's growth is coming from enterprise. And let me put this chart up on the screen. This chart shows that if you look down here at the very large business section, it's about halfway down, the industry grew 21%. That's market growth by segment. And large business grew 19%. Apple's share of that grew 108% and 78% respectively. So what this tells me is, I mean, Macs have been selling record numbers, and it looks like a big chunk of that is going to the enterprise market. So a lot to be said about that customer pull. One of the other articles were related, and this is from Network World. The headline was iPads Storm the Enterprise. And basically, enterprises are clamoring for these things. I think that it's the halo effect in business, just like it is for the consumer.
Well, I mean, we've discussed this like a million times. That's just a no-brainer. Those things are so easy to use for certain tasks. If you can do a big spreadsheet, no, they're not the thing to use. If you're going to add something to a small spreadsheet that you have it on your iPad, they're great.
I included this, Ken, more as a validation for our crystal ball. Okay,
you know, we've got one. They should just. I don't even know why they go to those other places, Joe. They ought to come ask you and I and be done with it. Hell, we can tell them how it is.
Yeah, I'll tell them how it is, no doubt.
You got that right. But, and we all carry guns, by the way. So,
well, the interesting point about all of this is we were talking about it, and here is confirmation. And, I mean, these are hard numbers that are showing up now that Apple doesn't even sell to the enterprise. Apple doesn't market to the enterprise. Hell, they canceled their server line last year. You know, they got no enterprise sales force. These guys like Dell and HP and whomever, you can't pick up a phone if you're in an IT position at one of these big companies without these people calling you and bugging you to death. And if it's not them, it's their aftermarket people like PC Connection or CDW. And they're all trying to push Dell, HP, Acer, Asus, whatever, to the enterprise. Apple never does that. I bet they don't spend a nickel a year in enterprise sales, and yet their numbers are exploding. So, again, it goes to show you, cream rises to the top. You make the best product, and people will buy it.
Well, Apple has a vision. I'm not saying those other companies don't have a vision, but they don't have a vision like Apple does. Apple's quiet about their vision. They came out with this incredible stuff, and they're the leader. They keep coming out with this really cool stuff, and it's not one of those things where you buy it and you try to make it fit. It's one of those things where it came and you thought, man, that is perfect. You know, I mean, there's just so many applications for it. But we've talked about it a million times. It's a no-brainer, no doubt.
Yep.
We'll just wait to see what happens next year, because next year it'll be a whole new ball game. Man, well, there'll be so many pads out like the iPad. There'll be so many different revisions to them when they add the cameras to them, the way that we talk to each other. There's going to be a bunch to it. Now, let me tell you one thing that I think about the enterprise thing that I think the iPad will really be big about. In these offices, they now use these voice over internet protocol systems for their telephone systems, and they work great. I can't imagine that they can't incorporate these iPads into those systems. I mean, to me, that would be great. Man, they'd have the visual. You know, they have the voice. It's easy to work.
Yeah, well, all you need is
internet. That's going to open up a whole new thing.
Yeah. You know, all you need is an internet connection and a Skype account, and or a, you know, whatever, a Tango account, or pick your poison as far as VoIP goes. But you're right, customer pull, man. It's just like smartphones did early on. The enterprise never. I mean, this is, and I'm going back to the Palm type stuff.
Right. You're right.
People wanted these things, and the enterprise had to adopt. And Microsoft, they encouraged that, and they provided enterprise with all the tools. Same thing with Apple. iPhone came out. Enterprise wanted it. Well, at first, they didn't even have any management software. Now they've got a full management suite for all iDevices on the enterprise network. So long story short, here we go, man. It's Apple's going to rule the world, and I don't know. I'm still thinking about
you own their stock, and I don't have their stock. So Okay.
Hey, look, let's just take a let's see. I've got a question in the chat room here, so let's go ahead and address that. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Good.
I think it's an old buddy of mine. I'm not going to say his name on the air, but it says, I'm thinking of buying a MacBook Air, but worried about installing some of my old software. How is the best way to install software without an onboard CD drive? Well, if you have a Mac, then you can share your Mac's CD-ROM with your MacBook Air. And there's also, Apple does sell for $99 a USB-powered DVD-ROM. My daughter, you know, I bought her a MacBook Air when she graduated from college, and it, you know, no disc. So now I've got her set up with the little USB powered one, and it works fine. But personally, you know, I've got a MacBook Pro here, and it has a disk drive in it. But I've shared my iMac DVD ROM across the network, and you can even do it on Windows. Apple at their website has a software. If all you got's a Windows machine and you want to buy a MacBook Air, then you can even share a Windows DVD ROM across the network, and that's wired or wireless. And
I'm glad you mentioned that one part right there, because that's an important to the normal person. They would be a little lost on that thing. It would probably be faster if they hooked them both into their router, made it wired. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's no big deal. Just and Mr. BCS Texas says, yes, I have the 27 iMac. Well, then it's no problem. All you have to do is go to the sharing in your system preferences. And under the sharing tab, I'll put it up on the screen here. Just a second. I'll show you how to do it. Get my preferences tab up if my iMac will stand anymore. Let's see here. Okay, let's get this guy on the screen and swap to it. Right here, if you go to system preferences and sharing, then right there at the top, DVD or CD sharing. And by default, it selects this ask me before allowing others to use my DVD drive. But all it'll do is just pop up and say your machine name on the network is trying to use this device. You won't allow it. And you just click yes. And then boom. Then on the MacBook Air, it will just show up like another mounted device, just like your Macintosh hard drive. So any disk you put in there will be accessible through the MacBook Air. The only reason I know that is because I've done it, and it works really great, and they do have it even for a Windows machine. So,
but Joe, let's remember one thing. His MacBook Air, now he'll be able to buy his programs, his applications from the App Store.
Yep. He was just specifically worried about a way to install his older software. So that's a way to do it. And, I mean, there's lots of ways to do it, but that is by far the easiest. If you've got some stuff that are on DVD-ROMs or CD-ROMs that you want to get over to a machine that runs without a disk. Man, if you got a Mac, which he says he's got a 27-inch iMac, then he's in like Flint, man. Just plug her on, get her on the network. If they're on the same network, share that DVD drive, and you can go in Finder on the MacBook Air, and that iMac will show up, and you click on that, and it'll show all the shared devices, and that the DVD ROM will be one of them. And you just double click that puppy, and boom, it'll mount right on your desktop, just like it was native to the machine. So,
wish I had a 27-inch iMac, but
well, Ken, don't play that sob story bullshit with me, man.
I'm getting ready to buy 320 the regular iMacs, one of the 21.5, something like that.
If I had your money, I'd throw mine away.
There you go, buddy. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for that question, guys. And hey, look, anybody else in the chat room listening in, you guys want to, and I think this is a good time to remind everybody that submit an email question. We'll work the technical stuff out on the air. That's questions@mactexan.com. And we'll try to work those in on the show if it's something that we think is pertinent to a broader audience. If not, respond to those as best I can individually. So anyway, thanks for that question. All right, next, Apple revenue tops the mobile market share, but it's sinking. Oh no, it's sinking. Well, let me get this headline up there. Here we go. There's a chart here. Now, this is at TUAW, the unofficial Apple weblog. What they're doing is showing the rank in mobile market. Mobile market share. And that's the Apple App Store, the BlackBerry App World, Nokia OV Store, Google Android Marketplaces, comparing those four. Okay, wow. First off, Apple is crushing by revenue in 2010. Where they're talking about it sinking is Apple went from a 93% market share in mobile app store to an 83% market share in the mobile app store. But what it doesn't tell you is the year-over-year growth was still 132%. And went from 770, I think that's in millions of dollars, $770 million to $1.78 billion from 2009 to 2010. So I don't think we're in any danger of the App Store sinking into obscurity anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you. That's just a little segment. I don't think Apple cares whether they're number one or not. They care about what their revenues are, and their revenues are positive, and their revenues are positive because they're increasing positively.
You know,
so
they 2.5 times. You know, their growth is 2.5 times what it was last year from 2010 to 2009. And, 132% growth.
Good.
Most people will take that, right? The real kicker here is, and Android really is the one that's really kicking butt here in terms of growth. But in 2009, they were only 1.3% of the market. Well, now they're 4.7% of the market. Well, they're showing like a 860% growth. And it just goes to show you can fiddle with numbers all you want. In the long and short of it, Apple has got almost 10 times the revenue. As a matter of fact, has more than 10 times the revenue of its nearest competitor, which is the BlackBerry App World. Apple at $1.7 billion, the BlackBerry App World at $165 million. So by a factor of 10, Apple owns the mobile app store space.
Yeah, but a year from now, it'll be interesting to see. The one that's really hurting right now is Nokia.
Yep.
Nokia's teamed up with Microsoft.
Yeah.
And they're going to run, is it Microsoft 7? Is that what they
mean? Yeah, Windows Phone 7. That's what they're calling it. Yeah.
And I don't know. Could be a cool thing. See how they pull that off. It'll definitely have an effect on the numbers for both Google and Apple. It'll just be interesting to see how big of an effect it will be.
Well,
none of those companies are hurting. You know?
No. And percentage-wise, okay, yeah, you slipped 10%, but you got new players. What really kind of surprised me in this was, BlackBerry, they advertise like crazy about their the BlackBerry App World. That's on TV. You can't turn on a TV set and watch it for 15 minutes without seeing a BlackBerry commercial talking about this app or that app. And we'll see. Android is the wild card here. If they continue to grow at the pace they're growing, which I sort of imagine, then percentage wise, Apple will probably slip again next year. But look, when you've got a factor of 10 over your next closest competitor, you're not in any danger of being taken over anytime soon.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
Okay, you want to move on to rumors, man?
I love rumors.
These are the smoking piles of dung of the tech world. But look, there's some fun stuff in here, and one that tops the list for me that I'm kind of excited about, mainly because I pay for Mobile Me for myself
and
myself and three daughters. It'll be a significant savings on my part. Is according to TUAW, Apple is working on a free Mobile Me, well, a major revamp of Mobile Me, and it might be free at the end of the day. I'm I'm happy that that'll happen. Of course, you know, you never feel like it's any fun after you've been paying all these years and all of a sudden they decide it's free. I would tend to think that it would be more like a Dropbox service or something like that, that there will be some basic free service from MobileMe, and they would increment maybe storage or bandwidth or something like that to a paid version. What do you think?
Oh, I agree totally. That's exactly what I was going to say. You and I are both big Dropbox users. We share one for the show, a folder in our Dropbox, and we use the free version of it. And I'm telling you, you can't get a better product than Dropbox. MobileMe, I'm a MobileMe user. I use it in my office. It works great. The thing about MobileMe is that it's having to change, or in my opinion, because the majority of people that bought, now this is my observation, and I'm in Texas. I wasn't in California. I'm sure in California it's a different, it's probably a more sophisticated crowd. They all built them. But most people didn't understand what MobileMe was. They didn't understand how it works. It took a while to learn what was really going on with that.
Hell, I've been using it for 5 years. I still don't know what the hell it is exactly, you know?
Well, I mean, but it is. I mean, it's a misunderstood product, and it is probably as fine a product as anything that they sell. I'm telling you, it works well for me. Boy, it just synchronizes all your calendars, but you can do that with Google for free.
Yeah.
You know, you have folders that you put it in. Your little iDisk is what they call it. You stick it in there. It's on your MobileMe. You can retrieve it anywhere. But gosh, you can do that with Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a combination of a bunch of things. You can put your photos in, but gosh, you can go to SmugMug and they'll give you a free account for however long. Or you can go to Flickr. Stick them on Flickr and you can have a free thing. So it's got all of those different places that you can store stuff. And it's a good one. Now, if you're going to use Apple products, boy, it works seamlessly with Apple products because it's made for them and it's all set up. So I'd like to see them make it free for, you know, for whatever little part.
Yeah. I've been a MobileMe user and I do it for all my daughters and, you know, and mainly the reason I use it is for the backup feature that it provides, that I know that, you know, they can nuke one of their machines. And if they're backed up by MobileMe and get all their settings back and everything else like the way it was.
But you can do that with SuperDuper for free.
Well, I know that. But, you know, SuperDuper, you got to have an external disk and this, that, and the other. MobileMe just does it. You know, you just set it up and boom, it does it. You don't have to worry about it. So, plus it gives them an email address that I can remember, you know.
Well, that was one of the coolest things when I first got my regular address is a mac.com. Now it's a me.com, but I have an old mac.com address.
I still use mac.com, yeah.
I took a lot of pleasure in that. I never understood why it went to me. You should have left it at Mac, yeah.
Well, there was a lot of talk early on when they changed it to from the .Mac service to the MobileMe service.
Right.
I always thought MobileMe was sort of a queer name anyway, but whatever. It works really good. And another thing, all my daughters use iPhones. Mm-hmm. And I got three daughters on iPhones. And I set it up for them or walk them through it on their Macs and on their iPhones to where everything is synchronized through MobileMe. And that, to me, is the biggest bonus having MobileMe is because your iDevices, all your bookmarks, your calendar, your contacts, all of that just gets synchronized automatically via MobileMe. And plus, the big, big thing is find your iPhone. Now, I never have too much trouble with that for my older daughters, but my kind of pick an 11-year-old, leave her head in the bathroom if it wasn't screwed on every morning. She leaves that phone here, there, and everywhere. And you know, she knows, she gets on her Mac, where's my phone? Well, we'll try calling it, it doesn't ring. Bing, where's my iPhone? Oh, yep, it's at Kristen's house, or it's at Randy's house, or whatever. You can tell exactly where she left her phone. So that and the syncing, that's the reason. I mean, the online storage and the backup, those things are nice to have, but like you said, you can do that elsewhere. But for someone, for someone that's not tech savvy, you set them up once and then you forget it. All you have to do is remember to pay the bill every year when it rolls around, and their email will be paid for, their iPhone is synced, their backups are done, all that's cool stuff. So, and it's not usually expensive, $100 a year. So, I mean, it wouldn't kill Apple to make that free service.
No, it wouldn't. You know, one of the things that I like is my notes. You know, you make notes on your iPhone, and then they show up on your Mac at the same time. Uh-huh. So if you're out somewhere and you keep your little notes, and you can find them on your Mac real easy. I like that. But
yeah, and it's
a very, very good service, and I think it was a misunderstood service.
Yeah,
that they never explained very well. You know, it's kind of an after sale. It's an upgrade.
Yeah, and it's just one more
Mac, and they're trying to push that on you.
Yeah, it's just one more reason for that damn data center in North Carolina to have a reason to exist, right? We keep waiting. They built this thing. They say it's ready to go. We keep waiting to hear what Apple's going to do with it. Maybe Mobile Me is the thing. Who knows?
I don't know. You know, I sent Steve Jobs an email about that.
Yeah.
He didn't answer. I was hoping maybe he'd answer like, shut up or go away or something. Yeah, I didn't think I'd get anything positive. Oh, I just, man. Hey, Steve, what's up with the data center?
I've never got him to answer me either because I've tried everything. I've tried kissing his butt. I've tried insulting him. I've done everything in the world. I've probably written him a dozen times. He hadn't responded to me either, so I guess.
Well, he's a busy guy. Why would he want to mess with two old geezers in Texas anyway?
I guess.
He's the same age as we are. He's actually a year younger, and it's his birthday Thursday.
Yeah, well, happy birthday. Get well soon. God bless him. If that cancer has reoccurred, I would not wish that on Fidel Castro, man. I wouldn't wish that on him. Yeah. From a purely selfish standpoint, I'm a part owner in the company, just like all us shareholders. And, man, when every time you can watch the stock, every time there's a rumor or a someone just take a picture of him where he doesn't look his healthiest and publish that, and the stock price dropped, 10, 12 bucks a share. So, but anyway.
But you know what? I read a good article about that. And it was about, Apple's been without Steve Jobs before. And under Scully, different times, different kind of deal, they made money and they grew. Under Gill,
right.
They almost lost it. But they've experienced other people other than Jobs. Now, obviously, Jobs is not immortal or doesn't want to retire or whatever one of these days. And I hope that's the fact that he wants to retire someday and does it that way. But in this article that I read, and I forgot exactly where I read it, it had to do about corporations that have made it past their visionary leaders. And the best one that they brought up, and boy, what a great one to compare it to, Walt Disney and Disney.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they lost Walt Disney, and you would think, man, he was the vision, and they've carried Disney on to be a great leader in so many fields and other what it is. And Apple has just got so much going on now. There are so many leaders in that company, but they have one visionary, and that definitely is Jobs. But I think that Apple will be okay.
Yeah, well, you know they're going to be okay. With numbers like these and momentum like this, you know, if this would happen to Jobs in, say, 2000, then Apple could have been in real trouble, right?
Right.
When they were struggling, but now that, I mean, the whole world is Apple's oyster as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they just keep hitting home run after home run. And even Tim Cook has proven himself to be an adequate successor in terms of grabbing the reins and going with it. So, let's see. All we hope is Apple stock, which is currently trading at 340. It's down. Ooh, it's down like
9 bucks, isn't it?
Geez, 10 bucks now. Uh-oh, come on.
I'm not an Apple stockholder, so I'm not concerned about that $10 drop. I may be if it keeps falling a little bit longer. I may be.
I'm looking at maybe a buy opportunity. Everybody's still got their targets in the mid to upper 400s for their stock. So,
and I think those are good targets. I used to not think that.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, talking about rumors.
Yep.
You have on here about the iPhone 5 screen size to expand to 4 inches.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a real deal rumor. From all the stuff that I've read, because God almighty, they have showed pictures of screens and different ways that the screen would be built and the whole design of the iPhone 5. There's a lot of rumors about iPhone 5 and the things that it'll do.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones, besides the screen size, is the battery life, maybe.
Yeah. Who knows, man? It's all speculation. It makes sense that all these new Android phones are coming out with four and a half inch screens. The iPhone, when you look at it by comparison, like I said, I just did this at the AT&T store the other day. The iPhone screen is, a bit smallish by comparison. Now, having said that, I haven't seen an Android, even these new Samsungs with the OLED displays and all that, they don't look as good as an iPhone 4 display. That Retina display is just phenomenal. But it makes sense. And anyway, it's just a rumor, according to Mac Life. We'll see. I don't know. I kind of like the iPhone, the size the way it is. But, I mean, where we're at 3.5 inches now, another half inch doesn't turn it into anything huge by comparison, I guess.
Well, that, they're talking about doing away with the home button. And I had mentioned this. They're talking about doing this on the iPad, too. I talked to you one time about them taking and putting all the controls on the bezel of the iPad. And I saw that story come up again.
Yeah.
And I could, they'd probably do the same thing. I hope they do one thing, though, with the iPhone. If they do change the screen size and they actually change the physical size of the phone, I hope they come or at least give somebody a heads up so that they can make some darn holders. So you can wear them when you're going out. I always have to go to the rodeo, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and they have all these vendors. And if you go to those, there's a bunch of those guys that have, leather purses and all that stuff, and they have phone holders, and they always made really big ones, and your iPhone, if you put a cover on it, whatever kind of cover it was, it would fit.
Yeah.
And they're tooled leather, kind of Western. If you're not into Western stuff, then too bad. But I just hope they fit that. That's kind of a stupid thing. But really, I mean, how are you going to carry that thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, if they do go to a, 4-inch screen, then they'll be on par with all the Android devices. So you would think the size would be similar. And, those universal covers for Android phones probably work for an iPhone, too. I don't know.
God, I'm not using a universal Android phone cover for my... And listen, I'm a simple guy. I'm worried about the cover, okay? Yeah. I'm not using a damn Android cover for my iPhone. I want the iPhone cover.
Yeah,
well, anyway, so be it.
Okay, well, and the reason I put this in here is the next one up is the iPhone Nano on the way. I holler bullshit. I don't think Apple's going to make a teeny tiny phone. What I do see them doing is they may increase the iPhone screen size for the iPhone 5 to 4 inches, and they may just continue to produce an iPhone 4 and call it the smaller iPhone. And like you right now, you can get a 3GS at AT&T. It's on their website for $49 with a 2-year contract. So the iPhone 4 may slip down, and they may still just keep manufacturing the iPhone 4 the way it is, and it becomes the $49 phone here in a year or so. Who knows?
Well, I see. I kind of differ with you on that. I don't think they're going to do it yet, but I could see them coming out with an iPhone Nano. And the reason being is that I've mentioned this before. I'm going to hold it up so you can see it in my little deck. Can you see it right here? There's my Nano watch that I got from Minimal, which is lunatic, right? And this guy, Scott Wilson, that was one of the things that he came out with, is he said that the Nano team had contacted him on Facebook, of all things, and that they wanted to discuss some ideas because there's a lot of people that have these watches, boy, and they're selling really cool, good now. And they wanted to discuss what else they could do with the Nano, or just his ideas and that, because a lot of these people on this website, Kickstarter, where it was originally started, keep coming up with things that they would like to see on their Nano, and they're not unreasonable things that they would like to have on there. And I could easily see a phone going in there. This thing is as handy as all get out. If you're a runner or something, it has a Nike thing in there. It's already on your wrist. It works good. Goes with the thing in your shoe. I could see a phone going in there, and yeah. I can see Apple doing this too, because we're in the iPhone Android phenomenal starting periods right now. But at some point, this won't be the biggest deal.
Yeah,
and there'll be a new thing that comes along.
Everything gets smaller and smaller.
It could be the wrist radio, the Dick Tracy wrist radio, and these things could come. So I think the Nano has got tons of potential. It fits on your wrist. You don't have to take it off your wrist. I could see it doing that.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. I just don't see it happening anytime soon. I mean, first off, I just know the logistics of trying to cram a phone into something, I mean, that you could wear on your wrist. I mean, you got antenna issues. I mean, Christ, you got the whole side of the iPhone 4 now is a big antenna, and even it has problems. I don't know. Maybe it can, maybe it can't. I'm not the expert. Anyway.
Oh, I wouldn't take anything away from them. God, they do so many patents. You know how many patents that Apple applies for and gets every year? It's just phenomenal.
Well, whatever. We'll agree to disagree. You say maybe. I say ain't no freaking way. Not any time in the foreseeable future. Not a nano size. Now, there may be a little bit smaller iPhone. There may be a less featured iPhone. But even I have trouble with that, because just knowing how the developer stuff works and, another device on their platform and all of that, and screen resolutions and things. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just say it's highly unlikely. Okay. So we'll agree to disagree.
This is a time that we need to go ahead and inform our listeners, and we do have some right now, that Joe has a problem being wrong. Sometimes Joe's full of bullshit, and we just have to kind of go along with him on this one. Ken is actually right on this one. So let's move to the next thing.
Whatever, Mr. Fanboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you'll be telling me about it next year. Kim was right. Hell, I didn't know it.
Let's go from some completely absurd rumors to one that I think is quite credible, and that is the new MacBook Pro soon. They're talking about maybe this week or next. MacBook Pros are due for a refresh. No doubt about it. And man, I've heard all kinds of speculations. Everything from because of the new display technology employed by the MacBook Air, they're going to up the resolution across the line for the MacBook Pros to a true 16:9 like are on the Airs. With some higher pixel density. I've also heard that they're talking about going diskless with that. I don't know about that. But one that does make sense is, the Airs shipped with no physical hard drives. They're all 100% SSD. We think that now the MacBook Pros have had an SSD option for quite some time. And as a matter of fact, my 17 that I record this show with runs a 250 SSD. Great, fast. Everything runs quickly, boots up fast. The SSDs in the Air are different. Okay. They're not the standard that fit into like a 2.5-inch with a SATA interface like are in this MacBook Pro that I own. The MacBook Airs have the SSDs mounted directly to the main board, and it's just two big chips, and they got their own controller technology. Okay. So it's more like, it really resembles flash storage more than solid state drive storage. And the numbers on it are really, really good in terms of speed, random reads, and all that. Look to see some kind of SSD option other than what's offered now on this MacBook Pro. I think Apple is really excited to get away from spinning hard drives. There will still be the offer because some people just need lots of storage. But for people that don't, I certainly say the 13 and the 15-inch will have an SSD offered that's similar to what's offered in the Air. You got any thoughts on the new Pros, what you think will happen?
Well, I agree with you about that. And it makes a lot of good sense because this storage, this offsite storage that we keep talking about, and you mix that in with maybe if they are changing up Mobile Me, to where there is a free version, somewhat storage on there. I could see where you'd store half of it there and half of it on yours, or whatever. There are a couple of other things that I read about. One of them was they were talking about they were going to introduce them this Thursday. There's a big deal about how many shipments have been made, and they're all wrapped in black plastic and all the things that they've done.
Yeah,
This Thursday is Steve Jobs' birthday.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were talking about that. Now, the other thing that they were talking about was that they could possibly be it may be the same aluminum case, but maybe a black aluminum case. I think that would be and that's a big deal for Apple. For a lot of people, it's not. But Apples have always been very sleek and stylish, so that could be a really big deal for them.
Hey, I've also heard that they're, you know, this light peak technology, that Apple is going to bypass the USB 3 standard, and they're getting in bed with Intel for this light peak, which is supposed to be like 10 gigabit transfer rate or something like that through, it's a hybrid fiber / copper connection. Now I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about that one, but needless to say, rumors abound anytime Apple is going to refresh a product of what could be in there. I think the most likely is, I think the displays are going to change. Maybe the bodies will change a little bit.
The weight is definitely changing, and that gives credence to your rumor about the hard drives.
Yeah, perhaps. And they're also talking about the new Intel Sandy Bridge. That's their latest. What is that? I forget which nanometer scale that is for those processors. More power efficient. Little speed bump there, and a little more power efficiency with the CPU.
They're also talking about the battery life.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you what, if you take a hard drive out, your battery life's going to go up. I'm running this MacBook Pro with an SSD, and they did not advertise the battery life on it being any better than the hard drive model, but I'm here to tell you it is. I mean, having owned a similar one to this, the year previous model that I handed down to my daughter, and it had a 256 gig drive, and I swapped over to this one in 2009, and it has the 256 gig SSD. The battery lasts significantly longer with it than with the previous model, and I'm sure that's due to a lot of things, but everything I've read tells me, well, it just makes sense. You got no moving parts, you know, it's SSDs are just more power efficient. So, and I think we've spent all the rumor money I want to spend this week. What do you think, Ken?
Well, we didn't talk about liquid metal being in there, but
we can
pray for that. I own some liquid metal, y'all.
I guess if it's all right for me to pimp Apple stock, it's all right for you to pimp liquid metal stock.
That's so right. My God, if they just print it on the pamphlet, that's all I need. Just something, you know. Just hell, I don't care. Put it on the box and a label or something. I don't care. But
come on, Apple, help Ken out. He's completely destitute without liquid metal performance, man. We got to do something about that liquid metal stock.
I think there's some pretty good rumors on some. They have some really. That's a whole deal. You could just do shows on rumors. There are so many coming out about the different products that they're coming out with. But I think we've limited them.
Yeah. So, and you know what? I am so happy with the MacBook Pro that I have right now. I'm not really itching to upgrade. You know. If there was anything in the Apple product line that I really got a Woody for, and that's one of those MacBook Airs. I like those things, man. That little 11-inch. As a matter of fact, I love my iPad, but you know, for $1,000 to get that 11.5-inch MacBook Air, you know, this iPad was $800 or something, you know, right? So anyway, just a thought, a MacBook Pro refresh. Of course, they may come out with something super sexy. And I'll tell you, I had read that thing about the black anodized shell for that. I think that would be way cool, too. So anyway.
Well, I'm talking to you right now on a black, one of the older black Macs.
Yep.
It doesn't have any aluminum shell. It's got the plastic shell, but boy, I've always liked it. It always reminded me of Batman. It's got that Apple on the front. And you know, the if I'm not mistaken, the Apple shines through, you know, on that white Apple lights up on the front of it.
Yeah.
I always thought that was pretty cool too. I think that would be a big deal for them. You know, people go for that, and they're just stylish looking computers, no doubt.
They are definitely the Gucci of laptops. And my daughter, you know, she wanted a MacBook Air. I said, baby, and this is when she graduated college, I said, you know, a MacBook Pro, I can buy you so much more computer, you know, for that amount of money. But she said, man, I gotta have that Air. That thing's so thin, and I know what it was. It was the Gucci factor. It was the style factor. That thing was so sleek and so cool. And, you know, she's still using it, still loves it. Of course, she's out of hard drive space, but that's something you fight on those things. But anyway, we'll see. MacBook Pros, maybe this week. We'll keep our eyes open and report back next week if anything happens. So that's it for rumors. Let's move on to the how-to section. And this week, I am going to pass on some knowledge that could save someone maybe several hundred dollars if the same thing happens to them that happened to me. My 11-year-old daughter at the time, well, I'll take it back. She turned 12, and we had a birthday party for her.
And I wished her happy birthday on her Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm always worried about doing that. You know, I'm 56 years old and she's 11, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm the kind of guy that I was put in jail for something like that.
Well, you,
so I'm just telling you right up front, her daddy, I wished her happy birthday, and that was it.
Are you feeling guilty about it, man? You like that guy?
Not at all.
On the Family Guy that whistles when he talks? Anyway, long story short, she did a toilet dunk with her iPhone. Carrying it in her back pocket, you know, like kids are prone to do. And somehow or another, I wasn't there to witness it, but she dunked it in the toilet at the party. So she picked it up and she came running to me instantly, which is a good thing she did. And she was quick. It fell in. She said it was only in there for like a second. She reached in and grabbed it. But the how-to this week is on how to save an iDevice like that if it gets dunked. Now, I'm not going to say this is 100% cure. All I can say is it worked for me. What I did,
it was a darn good idea too. I'm pure genius as far as I'm.
Well, I can't remember where I heard this, but it made sense to me. I took the iPhone right then, and the party was at a community center down the street, so it didn't take me but a minute. I ran straight home with it, and, of course, I got it in a towel and dried it off best I could, and I shook it in water. Oh, it made me so depressed. Water came out of the 30-pin connector, and I pulled the SIM card out of the top and shook it upside down, and water came out of it and did the best I could, and went down where I got an air hose in my garage and blew it out, which really doesn't do much, but made me feel better anyway. So, but I had read about this. I took a gallon Ziploc bag and I took like 3 cups of raw white rice and put it in that Ziploc bag and put the iPhone in with it, with the SIM card taken out, just to give it another hole to breathe out of, I guess. I don't know. And I zipped that son of a gun up, and I left it for a week. And I didn't try to turn it on when it was wet. Catherine had, and she says, when I hit the button, nothing happens. So I took her at her word, and with water running out of it, that's the one thing you got to do. Don't turn these things on to see if they'll work after you know they've been drenched like this, whether it's with a water hose or a swimming pool or toilet. So when you turn it on and you power up the circuits, then you're in trouble. But so I didn't turn it on. I put it in this bag of rice, left it for a week. I took it out. It took me a couple of tries, but I plugged it into the wall charger and let it charge up for about a half hour or so, and hit the button, and what do you know, I got an Apple logo out of it. And now it took a week. It could have taken less time than that, I don't know, but white rice evidently is a good desiccant. It absorbs water. Now, you know, I thought about going I think you can go down to the drugstore and buy that desiccant, you know, buy the jar, buy a small jar of that stuff for keeping things dry. But I didn't do that. I heard white rice is good, and I've seen white rice at enough salt shakers around here to to make me believe that it does a good job at removing moisture. But after a week, the iPhone appears to be working normally. So I'm not going to guarantee it'll last forever, but I do know that it didn't kill the thing. So if you ever drop an iDevice in the water or otherwise get it soaked, iPhone, iPod Touch, any electronic device for that matter, this is at least worth a try. What do you got to lose? If it doesn't work, you know, so you still got a brick. But this time it worked. So that's my how-to for the week.
That was pretty incredible. Now, you could have taken But you have to have one. I have a dehumidifier. Could have stuck it in a box with a dehumidifier and done it. You know, the only thing about sticking that plastic bag, I was wondering at first, would that have hurt it? I mean, could trap the moisture? You know how the moisture will build around the bag or something like that? But
well, when you put 3 cups of white rice in there, there was no sweat on the inside of that bag. Even with that iPhone, like I said, I blew it out and best I could, but I know there was still water inside of it. When I put it in there, that bag sat on the counter in the kitchen and I kept an eye on it, and there was never a bead of sweat inside or outside of that bag for the whole week. I think that rice just soaked it all up. So
what did the rice look like when you got finished?
Couldn't tell the difference. You know, it just looked like a raw rice. I mean, because I had a bunch of it in there, you know, I mean, I didn't, I figured, you know, 1 cup's good, 3 cups is great. Right. So.
That's the way we live.
That's it, baby. So anyway, but it worked, and might save your iPod if you accidentally dunk it. Anyway, who knows? Or if you were wearing an iPod Nano on your wrist and you actually decide to go out in the rain with it sometime, you know, this may save your Nano before it's all said and done. So
you're not talking about my Nano.
No, I wouldn't dare talk about
my wrist.
I wouldn't
good.
Dare talk about your fag watch like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you right now, you've been jealous from day one, whether you want to admit it or not.
Oh, no. It keeps me up nights, man. I'm telling you.
I had a guy stop me the other day and kept asking me what in the world that thing was. He goes, what do you do with it? And I said, not really anything. Just look at the time.
Do you ever listen to music on it? Cool. Do you ever listen to music with it?
You know what? I hadn't done it yet, but I'm fixing to. My wife's making me start walking.
So how much did that band cost? I'm just curious.
My band cost me $50, and it is a nice, nice band.
Oh, it's very attractive, very attractive. And the Nano cost...
It really is. It's a real high-class deal. There's the buckle and all on it.
Okay.
But, you know,
and the Nano cost...
Wear long-sleeve shirts, and if you're walking or something, you run your cord for your headphones into that little deal and run them up your sleeve and put them up there. If you don't do that, you know, you can stick a cordless thing in there and walk with it. It's a little easier than walking with your iPod.
Yeah. All right. Well, what was the Nano? It's about $150, right, for a Nano?
Yeah, something like that. But so, I've got 2 or 3 of those things. I bought my wife one too, but I bought mine. I thought I better buy her one while I'm at it, because I can see me whizzing along with my little eye Nano on my wrist, and she ain't got nothing out of it. And
so you got a $200 watch that's not even water resistant. That's what you're telling me.
Oh, no, buddy, I do. All you got to do is you get in the water, you stick in a bag of rice, and you can buy it.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll leave you alone.
Knows that hell, it came with the instructions.
All right, enough bullshit. On to the software pick. Hey. Okay, guys, we're going to make this brief. Ken and I, we're running long as always. We're a couple of bucket mouths. But anyway, this is a – if you own a laptop or you own any – Mac that has limited hard drive space, on occasion it's a good thing to do. You know, if you get down to like 10% left on your hard drive or whatever, or you just need to make room to put more stuff on, whatever. If the hard part is knowing what you've got on your hard drive and what's taking up all the space. Well, you know the easy ones. If you've got movies on there, that's an easy one. You know, those are big files. But, you know, it's hard to get a grip just using Finder or even Pathfinder, like I was talking about last show, to determine what is eating up all the space on your hard drive. Now, there are a lot of free programs out there that do this. JDisk is one. It's a Java-based program. There are numerous. You just Google hard drive space, and you'll get a whole list of them. But one that I downloaded a free trial of, and I believe it's a 2-week free trial, that it's Mac only, and it's called Daisy Disk. And let me put that guy up on the screen. The reason I downloaded it was not because of anything that it does exceptionally well, other than how beautiful it is. And when I downloaded it and used it the first time, this was like a year or so ago, I was overly impressed with how fast it was. Now, I've used the Java solutions and some others, and it seems like when they go to analyze your hard drive, it takes the things about, you know, 15 minutes, depending on the size of your drive and how many files you've got. Daisy Disk works instantly. I mean, in less than 15, 20 seconds, it'll scour your whole drive, and it gives you a little map like like I'm showing you on the screen here. And towards the center, it's a sort of like a pie chart or whatever, but sort of in the center shows the big clumps. And then as you go outward from the center, it breaks it down into different folders and all of that. It gives you a nice graphic representation of what is eating up the different volumes on your Mac or what's consuming the space. It's $19.99. It's at daisydiskapp.com. And it's very pretty, and it works very fast and very well. And, you know, it's not free, but you can try it for nothing. And, you know, $20 is not crazy. But if your time is valuable, I have never seen a disk analyzer program that works as quickly as Daisy Disk. So if you're concerned about hard drive space, like I said, on an iMac like this with a couple of terabytes, I'm not worried about that yet. But sooner or later, it always happens. You wind up to collect enough crap to fill one up. But on a laptop especially, you know, you need something like this to know what you can get rid of and what's eating up all the space on your drive. So Daisy Disk from daisydiskapp.com. Okay, Ken.
Can I mention one software?
Go ahead, yeah.
I had a little situation come up. I have an app, and I don't know how long I've had this on my iPhone, but it was one of the first I got, and it's called Page Once, PageOnce.
Yeah.
.com, Page Once. I put it on my, and what it does, it manages credit cards and stuff like that. And really what my concern was if somebody stole my identity or something like that, you know, we're always at risk for that. Well, you enter the credit cards that you have, and I had entered, I don't have any credit cards, so I put them on there. One of them was my American Express. For some reason, I was up the other morning at about 3 in the morning, 3:30. I had woken up, and I got my little iPad, and I was reading on it. And I went and checked my mail, and my little Page Once thing came up, and it said, we thought you might want to know about this large purchase you just made. And it was for a couple of speakers in Wisconsin for $4,258.
Well,
I can guarantee you one thing. I like good sounds. As much as anybody else, but it'd be real hard for me to spend that much on a pair of speakers. And the second thing is, if I did it, I wouldn't put it on my American Express.
Yep.
I sent the guy an email. I sent the store an email. I looked it up, and the guy called me back at like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And asked me a couple of questions. He goes, oh God, we got a theft. He stopped the shipment, and it was, they used my stuff. They had the speakers shipped to Las Vegas.
Huh.
He had the speakers stopped in Las Vegas. They were on Federal Express. He stopped them at that point in Las Vegas. Then he sent me the email. He's been talking to this guy back and forth. The guy's been signing my name.
Huh.
The last email on the guy, he said, Ken, meet Ken. You ain't getting any speakers. And it's all over. It, you know, and within 2 days of that, when the guy did that, American Express, they were great to me. They challenged it. They stopped it. This guy with a speaker outfit, he stopped it on his end. Of course, he had a lot to lose, too.
Sure.
He stopped it on his end. It prevented the theft. It kept it off my record. I didn't have a big deal. And I just I should have made a bigger deal about this software. I'll probably put it on the in fact, I will put it on our webpage. It's called Page Once, PageOnce. It's a good little app. I can't even tell you if I pay for it. I don't think I do. I think I have a, you know, part of it's free. I use the free part.
Yeah.
And probably lost some interest or anything, but it just gives me these little ticklers all the time. And so what a great thing. And that's just another example how they've mislabeled this thing. It's not a phone. It's they should call it the miniature iComputer.
Yeah.
That you carry on your hip. So,
well, a lot of people in San Francisco, New York would agree with you because you can't make a damn phone call with it over there.
Well, you got that right. But I'm going to tell you something else. I had the best time at Macworld. I love Macworld. I'm going to all the rest of the Macworlds. I thank my buddy for taking me with him because he's an old experienced Macworld guy. But if you hadn't been, you ought to go. It was pretty cool.
Ton of fun. All right, man. We are running way late, just like always. So I've got to figure out which portion of this bullshit I'm going to cut out and leave on the cutting room floor. So anyway, look, folks, thanks for BCS Texas, who's in the chat room. And we got we got three other viewers right now. So you guys that are listening, we'll have this video up on the website, the part that's recorded, and I'll get the audio podcast. We're in iTunes. You go to the iTunes store and you search for Mac Texan and subscribe to our podcast. Also, we would really appreciate leaving comments, rate the podcast, tell them what you think. I mean, tell us we suck. There's no such thing as bad publicity as far as I'm concerned. So, publicity is publicity. But anyway, other than that, we're at www.mactexan.com. My email address is joe@mactexan.com. And
I'm Ken@mactexan.com. And write us with anything at all. We enjoy doing this a lot.
Sure. And we try to do it every week. I know we missed last week, but
we work.
Oh, and hello to Miss Stevens out there too. She says hi. So anyway, MacTexan.com. We do have a special email address. If you'd like to write us with technical questions or just anything in general, that's questions@MacTexan.com. And man, thanks Kelly Data for sponsoring the show. And and thank you Suddenlink for not dropping out on me, you POS cable system punk of junk. Anyway, that's it for me, man. How about you?
That's it. I got to go to work.
Don't lie to me. Till next time, folks. Vaya con Dios, amigos.
Hey, everybody, be careful. Have a good time. Bye-bye.